Hi there, and welcome to episode 16 of Oaktown Boys. My name is Dan.
And I'm Corey.
And, man, unmitigated good week, right?
It was a good week, and it was exactly as we predicted. It was 5-1. Good guys.
You know, I mean, it's only been, I don't know, we've only said 5-1 or 4-2, maybe like 50, 60% of the time. So you say it every time, occasionally you're going to be right. But it was great. It was 5-1, and it was every bit of the 5-1 that we needed for sure. It was, things had been tough. Now that we're at the end of a 5-1 week, I feel like it's safe to look back and say that was not a very good time. That was like a seven week stretch, maybe, of pretty bad baseball.
Yeah, they've essentially been playing 500 or slightly below 500 ever since the All-Star break, and it's really just not what they've been needing to do. I think, obviously, they're on their five-game win streak right now, and when they had hit three games, I think Brody Brazil had tweeted that the A's had won three, lost three, won three, lost three, like, consecutively. So that's just the way it's been going.
I think it was, that's at least 12 games of 500 ball
just
over
back
that
back and forth agony at the worst possible time. And continued in that direction.
It wasn't like before that stretch of 12, they were winning consistently anyway. It was like, it just wasn't that stark. It was basically 500 ball, but it just wasn't like exactly 3-3 and 3-3. No. But so 5-1 feels good.
Yep.
It feels even better to have lost the one and then won five in a row. That's a fun way to do it.
Yeah, and when it happened, you know, the only way we could really possibly console ourselves was to say, well, I hope they got it out of the way early this week, but seemingly they did. Tuesday's game was more of the same, more of the continual agony we've been experiencing. The A's got off to a 6-0 lead after the top of the third, quickly gave up four runs right back, scored one of their own back, and then after five, they were still winning 7-4, but of course the bullpen couldn't blow it or hold it. Specifically, Petit blew it for four runs right after Dan had just instilled his confidence in him last episode. Bad timing on that, but yeah, it was a classic A's bullpen blow up. And after that game, panic levels were sky high. It pretty much felt like the A's had to go 5-0 the rest of the week in order for them to still have a decent shot. Lo and behold,
after losing that game, that was the first time in a while that they had been like, 10 games over 500?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, you're obviously not 500, you're 10 games over 500, but it felt like being at 500. You know, like it felt like the lowest they could possibly go, while still having some glimmer of hope of being able to turn it around. And, now that they've won five in a row since then, it's much easier to look back. I think I'm wearing my rosy red glasses a little bit about it. You know, like, oh, it wasn't that bad. No, on Tuesday it was bad. That was bad.
It was bad.
And it was bad that they lost, and it was bad that we knew it was going to happen, and it happened.
Frankie Montas just really didn't have it that day on a day when he needed to have it. And again, Petit blew it. Romo blew it. It was just an all-around bad pitching day. And to start off a fun trend for this week, the A's left 20 men on base on Tuesday.
20? Buckle in, guys, because there are going to be some staggering men left on base numbers coming at you guys pretty quickly here.
We'll keep track. We'll do a weekly tally. So that's 20 so far. So Wednesday was better. The A's. Well, do you want to take this, Dan?
Wednesday, still a crazy game, and still, man, a lot of things not to like. But they won. They won 12-10. It was just both teams were scoring a lot. Manaea got through five, which in retrospect is kind of crazy thinking about how many runs got scored in that game. He wasn't great, but he got through five.
I kind of remember him being good. Is that right?
I think especially in context, it felt like he was good, you know, like, it seemed like everything was either a double or a home run. So he was getting guys out occasionally, and it was like, all right, well, So he was okay. He was fine. He was good enough. He gave up 5 runs, threw 5, struck out 3, walked 1, 9 hits. So yeah, not his best outing. But we're up 12-6 after 7. Trevino came in and looked good for, man, the first time in a while.
That was huge. Struck out 5 through 2.
Yeah, and just looked good. Looked like his old self, which is fleeting at this point. But they turned it over to Diekman, and Diekman just didn't have it. Didn't have it at all. Gave up 3 runs, seemingly in the blink of an eye. Like, it was so quickly 12-9 that I felt like it was never 12-6. And then Chafin came in, cleaned it up. I mean, we won the game. It wasn't great. He was also not great, and it took a unbelievable series of events in the bottom of the 9th inning for them to win this game. But bottom line, Andrew Chafin got the last 4 outs. He did give up 1 runner, and there were people on base, and they very easily could have at least been tied or lost. But it was a win, and it was an exciting win. And I'm at this point, I'm kind of tired of exciting games, but it was another exciting game. And they won.
You know, so it was so exciting. It was so exciting because they left 26. They left 26 men on base. That's why it was so exciting.
In that, they left 26, and so 26 men in that game alone.
Yeah.
So we've got a 20 and then a 26.
Yeah, that's only 2 games into the week. Elvis had 4 hits that game. Canna had 3 hits that game. Shout out Chris Davis, pinch hit RBI single, which.
Yeah, no, which was big.
Ended up being big
at the time, but ended up being massive.
Yep.
But yeah, first, so win number one. Win number one of the week.
Win number one on the week, swiftly followed up by win number two. Paul Blackburn was on the bump, and he looked a little shaky to start, and quickly gave up a 2-run home run to none other than Salvador Perez for his record-setting or tying 45th home run by a catcher. Amazing stuff, really. But he settled down, and he ended up getting the win. He went 5 innings, gave up 6 hits, 2 earned, walked 2, struck out 3. Deolis Guerra came up big again and went 2 innings in crunch time when we really needed him. Kept the game close. Chafin and Romo also did their job. And the A's, who scored 4 runs in the 3rd inning, didn't score anything till the 9th, but tacked on another 3 in the 9th for just a thorough victory, which is something we haven't seen much of, especially lately. So it was nice to see the team in control for an entire game. And it was just really cool to see Paul Blackburn contribute and get a victory on his resume for that.
Yeah, it was, nothing feels easy at this point. But this one kind of did a little bit. It was good enough. They responded, they got down early and they responded well. And that's good to see this time of year. I feel like I'm running out of superlatives for Salvador Perez, but I think I'm not the only one. I think everyone kind of is at this point. It just genuinely feels like the guy is going to hit a moonshot every time. And at this point, most of the time, he does. And, he's just – it's at least what happened in that series against us was it just seems like, yeah, every mistake, every poorly placed fastball, he's just going to park it. He's absolutely going to park it. And I don't know how he's doing it. The guy's catching every day and
I don't know either.
Still, but good win. Very good win. I think kind of a really important follow up to the 12 runs, being able to put 7 up, starts to be a little bit of consistency, offensive consistency, which is, good to see for sure. Because if you can score 12 runs, 7 runs, as we talked about what happened on Wednesday, your pitchers can have a bad outing, and sometimes you can outscore that. So for a team that needs wins, that's a good thing to be doing right now, scoring runs. And yeah, good for Paul Blackburn. And then on Friday. Oh, sorry, what?
They left 20 men on base on Thursday, meaning they left 66 on base in the Royals series, which is even more than they left on in the Angels series, which is what we were so gassed up about.
Talking about?
Pre-show.
Okay, so what? Hold on. 66 men on base in this series alone?
In the Royals series, yep.
And how many runs did we score? What was this? What was the score on Tuesday?
26 runs. They scored 26 runs.
And they left 66 men on base?
Yeah. Crazy stuff.
Somehow, okay, well, I mean, they won the series.
It somehow wasn't as apparent as it was in this Angels series. But, yeah, man, the A's are – the offense is so close to just steamrolling everybody, but they're not quite there. And the pitching needs to shore itself up. It's trending in the right direction, but we're good.
It is. That's like two separate thoughts in my head. That's like they're getting an unbelievable amount of men on base. You know, like that is just having that much traffic on the base paths is kind of crazy. Anyway, and yeah, it's also a little bit distressing that they're not scoring like tons of runs. But still, yeah, maybe that'll start happening soon. Anyway, okay, Friday, 5-4 win to me felt like the biggest one, the most important one. Maybe I don't know. I just felt like this was the game they were gonna lose, and they didn't.
And they didn't. Yeah,
you know,
like the bullpen really showed up when it had to. It had been a long time since I've seen this six innings by the starter and then one innings of clean baseball by three relievers to follow. It's a really nice thing to look at in the box score.
It is. And Cole Irvin, you know, yeah, defense didn't do Cole Irvin any favors on this day.
No.
He still pulled the win out. I mean, essentially, he – six innings, seven hits, one earned, one walk, three strikeouts. And, I mean, the one earned, Kurt Suzuki got him for a homer to start off the second. And that's really all he should have given up. So this is one of those cases where, like, the run to earn run thing is like, very representative. Technically four runs scored against him, but it should have been one. He was really good. And yeah, the offense got it done. I mean, Josh Harrison is just in the middle of everything right now. You know, it seems like he's playing really well, and it seems like we're getting lucky enough where he is always coming up in spots where we need him to come up. You know, like if we just need a sack fly, it seems like it's always Josh Harrison. And it's like, yes,
he's the man for the job right now.
I know Josh Harrison can get a sack fly right now.
They actually had him start a shortstop to give Elvis a day off. And I do think that he misplayed a ball that Elvis would have made, which is part of the reason that they gave up three unearned runs. But obviously, Jay Hay is a huge part of the reason they're doing so well lately. So not trying to take anything from him. Just an observation that missing Elvis may have hurt them a little bit there.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that's short. Our shortstop situation is, well, we'll talk about that later on. But, yeah, they won. They won. They won again. And Cole Irvin pitched well again, which is, you know, this is, man, so big to see that Cole Irvin is like, legit. I mean, we knew, I think on some level we knew, but now he's really showing that this is like, none of this is fluky. Like, Cole Irvin's like a number three, solid number three.
It sure seems like it, yeah.
It's good to see. So, what was that, win number three in a row?
That was three in a row. Yeah, big hit by Harrison in the sixth inning to get two RBIs to take the lead in that game. And Romo shut the door with a clean save, which was really cool.
And the wild ride of Sergio Romo right now.
Yeah, that ride continued. We had a big, crazy Romo experience yesterday, didn't we? This is Monday.
We did.
Anywho, on to Saturday. The A's won 3-1. And Dalton Jeffries was supposed to start this game, which I was pretty excited about. He was taking the role of Caprillion, who has definitely looked tired lately. But Jeffries has a nerve thing in his elbow, so James Kaprielian was the one for the job again, and he shined. He went 6 innings, 2 hits, nothing else, 5 strikeouts. And they actually had I was thinking of the next day. Deolis Guerra came in, and he really had to battle out of an inning, and it looked like he got out of it. There was this crazy replay call where the A's made this amazing double play. Was this yesterday? Dan, am I getting my games mixed up?
No, I think that was – I think that was the game. I think this was – I think that was Saturday.
Okay. There was a crazy double play. Deolis had to cover first, like dove, caught the ball, tagged first base all at once, and as he hit the ground, the ball popped out of his glove, but the umpire had already called him out, and then – everyone was pumped, and we went to the commercial, and then we came back, and he was out there pitching again because the replay had overturned it, and it was terrible. Anyways, just really gutsy outing by him. Amazing play. It's sad that he didn't get credit for it. And then just amazing jobs by Petit and Chafin, although it got real dicey. Really, the whole game was dicey, but in the last inning, Chafin was trying to close the door in the bottom of the ninth. Bases were loaded. Two outs, and a single would have at least tied the game for the Angels, but a little soft line drive, which I was sure was going to be a single, somehow got snow-coned by Jay Hay up the middle, and the game was over. And there's already Harrison shirts being made because it was – I mean, in some ways it did. It saved the A's season. You know, every day there's a new chance to save the A's season, and that was a moment that it happened.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
I was sure, you know, there's like, what, 3 or 4 different moments this week where we were probably sure the A's were going to blow the game, and they did not.
Crazy. And I mean, just Josh Harrison. God, Josh Harrison's amazing.
Thank God for him. And take us home, Dan.
Okay, and then... yesterday, Sunday, it was Shohei versus Frankie Montas. And as good as James Kaprielian was on Saturday, and he really was, it may have been the best. I was going to say that. I forgot. That may have been the best Kaprielian stuff looked all year.
Out of nowhere, but yes.
Yeah, which was crazy. And that's not even to say that his stuff hasn't looked good, like really good at points this year. Because it totally has. I mean, he's looked very, very, very good for long stretches this year. But, man, he was on point. And to continue that, Frankie Montas picked up the ball yesterday and just decided to be – just went toe-to-toe with Shohei and got the better of him, for sure. Frankie Montas, 7 innings, 1 hit, 4 walks. And I saw a stat that – obviously, he threw 16 balls to those 4 batters that he walked. The entire rest of the game, he threw 7 balls. So, I mean, as we've talked about, Frankie Montas can lose it for a little bit and then gets it back together and is dominant. And that used to mean that he would lose it for like 2 or 3 batters. And then he would get it back together. And sometimes that would mean 1 run. Sometimes that would mean 2 runs. But it seems like he's shrinking that down to losing it for like a span of maybe 5 pitches and then getting it back together, or losing it for like 3 pitches and getting it back together. And, you know, when you make those adjustments with the stuff that he has, you end up with outings like this. And it was unbelievable. He was just unhittable. He was, he gave up 1 hit in 7 innings. He was almost unhittable. And I mean, Shohei struck out 10 in 8 innings. Gomes got him for a homer in the 3rd inning, and Chapman got him for a homer in the 4th inning. And I mean, if there is a problem with Shohei as a pitcher, he's like a little bit prone to the long ball. They got him. But yeah, I mean, I guess he walked 3, not that bad. But if you're going to beat him, yeah, you got to beat him with walks and homers. And it was 2 solo homers, which I didn't think was going to do it. But held up until the bottom of the 9th, until Sergio Romo came in and just. Wasn't very good. Wasn't very good at all.
Gave up 3 hits in a row.
Yeah, he got 1 out. He gave up 2 runs. They brought Trevino in. I thought it was over.
We all thought it was over.
And Trevino was great. Trevino gave up absolutely nothing. The closed out the ninth, kept it tied. We started the top of the 10th with Matt Olson on second, moved him over to third, and then Jed Lowry, Mark Hanna moved him over to third, and Jed Lowry got him home, put us up 3-2, and then Lou shut the door and on what is probably the most unbelievable win of the season. I have never been so sure that they were going to lose a game that they won. I mean, probably, that's probably a little bit of hyperbole. There's probably been times where I was more sure they were going to lose and they won, but I can't remember one. And it's crazy. I'm so happy they won. I couldn't believe it.
These are games they have not won for like 2 months.
Yeah.
And it's great. They just won like three or four of them this week.
And in a row, you know, like they're just, it's like, which is cool. I mean, you love a 5-game win streak, but, you like begs the question, like where has any of this been? You know,
and just I'm hoping that the luck is starting to go their way a little bit. So let's go back to this runners left on base topic, because they left a bunch on in the Angels series too. So in the Angels series, they combined for 57 men left on. So on the week, that's 66 plus 57. And if you mathify it, you get a number that's high.
What, 1.3?
What'd you say?
123?
Yeah, that's right. I have a math major. So they left 123 runners on, which is crazy. And I mean, when you think about it, it's not like they left that many unique runners on base, right? So when Chad Pinder strikes out with the bases loaded, then Matt Chapman also strikes out with the bases loaded. Like that's six left on base, but it's really the same three guys. But anyway, I mean, they were filling the bases, and that's really what you have to do to score runs. So couldn't come at a better time to see this offense putting so many people on base. And hopefully the hits with bases loaded will start to come.
And you're talking maybe four well-timed hits over the course of the week. And, I mean, we're talking maybe 10, 11 more runs, you know? They were really close to having a really big offensive week, and they went 5-1. It wasn't like they had a bad week, you know, they went 5-1, and it feels like they did about 80% of what they could have done.
I will say though, cashing in on just a couple of those opportunities could have made a lot less stress. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the years that this season has taken off of our lives, we're never going to get back. So, you know, that's okay. We've already made that investment anyway. But
I prefer to spend my time anyways.
Yeah, true. I mean, it's fun. And you know, if they end up winning the World Series, it's going to be a wild story.
We'll take more years off our life in celebration.
Absolutely. If that's what's happening this year, then it's going to be a long haul. We got a lot. It's going to be stressful times. But I'm here for it. I'm not complaining at all. It looked good. The offense looked good, you know?
It did. And the pitching is showing signs. My moment of the week was Lou Trevino stepping up majorly. He saved the day yesterday. He got the win, but he got the metaphorical save. He saved the season again, if you want to go that far. He definitely saved the day. It was all over, folks. And somehow he got through the dreaded bottom of the 10th extra innings with a runner starting on second, unscathed, just magical. So hats off to Lou Trevino. Hoping that he can take this and move forward.
He got a capital S save yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Like a big save. Like a save, saved everybody's ass save.
BS, but not blown save. Like, big save.
Yeah, big save. We should make a separate category. We should keep track of those. Yeah, anyone who gets 10 in a season needs MVP consideration. My big moment of the week is James Caprillion. We talked about it a little bit. I can honestly talk about it forever because it was amazing. He was just – that was first-round pick James Caprillion. You know, I mean, it was – it all makes sense when he's looking like that, when his stuff is doing exactly what he wants it to do. It's like, oh, yeah, this guy might, you know, like this guy might be a number one. You know, he's got a little bit of Rich Harden in him when he's on. And that's, it's good to see. It's fun to have those guys on your team. Like he's, you know, I mean, he's not throwing like 98, but when he's going well, he's a power arm. You know, he like, he blows 94 mile an hour fastballs by people when he's going well. And I love him. I love having him on the A's. I was happy when they traded for him. I was skeptical a little bit. You know, I think I was as skeptical as anybody else was with the health issues that he'd had. But I think at some level, I knew if he could get healthy, that he was going to be good. And here he is. He's healthy and he's pretty good.
He's got that short arm funk about him, and that can be dangerous.
Well, and it just makes me excited for next year too. You know, I mean, if all goes well, James Caprillion stays healthy, blah, 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 has a normal offseason. You know, we could be looking at, if everything goes well, James Caprillion going for 200 innings next year.
That would be cool. That'd be crazy, but I'd like to see it. So I think our first topic here is mainly about our postseason picture here. Who are we more likely to catch at this point is the grand question. There are three teams that we're chasing, if you don't include the Astros. Let's just not talk about the division chase at the moment. There's a more easier fish to fry, I should say. The A's are trailing the Astros by 6 games.
It's possible.
It's possible. I believe they have at least 6 games left against the Astros themselves. So let's just, you know, who knows? Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think we need to spend a ton of time on that, other than to say that it's possible. And just because we're not talking about it doesn't mean we think it can't happen.
That's right. We will talk about.
It's crazy. That's kind of all you can really say about that.
We'll talk about the more likely of outcomes, which is the A's making it to the wild card. So Boston's in the lead. They've got a 1-game lead over the Blue Jays, who have the second spot. The Yankees are 1.5 games behind the Blue Jays. The A's are 2 games behind the Blue Jays. So Yankees and A's are tied at 67 losses. Yankees have one more win. Boston and Toronto both have 65 losses. So really, we're trailing by 2 losses. I'm way more scared of Toronto right now just because of the way they've been absolutely destroying everybody. Their run differential is up to 177, which is over 100 better than the Red Sox or us. I don't know. The Red Sox have just kind of mystified me all year. I wasn't really sure how they were doing it, but now they have Chris Sale back, so I'm a little bit less unsure. Now it makes more sense.
All of a sudden, the Blue Jays have the second best run differential in the AL. So,
yeah, that doesn't seem fluky anymore. If their pitching can hold up,
now the Jose Berrios deal makes a ton of sense. You know,
yeah, that's true. It's true.
I remember when they traded for him, it was a little bit like, oh, they were like 5 games over 500. Yeah, they're like, a little bit like, okay, Blue Jays, whatever.
You're going to sell the farm for this.
So, joke's on us. But yeah, I have, you see the Yankees run differential?
Yeah, it's down to 23.
The Yankees are falling apart.
They're falling apart. And I was watching Talking Baseball this morning, and Trevor Plouffe asked Jimmy and Jake about how they feel about the Yankees. And they're both just like, there's literally no Yankees fan left in the world that has hope of them making the playoffs. And even if they do, like what? One game, what are they going to do in a 1-game playoff game? They're going to lose. So yeah, they're totally defeated as a fan base, which is nice.
Well, dude, and yeah, it feels like the how bad Gerrit Cole got rocked was a backbreaking. He got torched, you know, he got blown up. I feel like we've essentially caught the Yankees, but I think we're going to pass the Yankees here in pretty short order. If only because they're going to continue free falling. I think we're going to keep winning. I hope we keep winning, but I think the Yankees are going to answer that question for us. The Yankees are going to fade. So it's us and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. And I don't know. It's going to be a dogfight.
The next series for these teams, the Red Sox are playing the Mets. So who knows what will happen there. The Blue Jays are playing the Rays, though. So that's an opportunity for us to catch up for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the Rays are so good.
The Rays are so good.
The Rays,
Very happy that we have zero games left against the Rays.
Yeah, we didn't look very good against them this year. But yeah, I mean, I think I'd rather play the Red Sox just because I think the Blue Jays are way better. You know, if we have to deal with the Blue Jays in the event that we make the playoffs, I would rather see the Blue Jays later. You know, I'd like the chance to get going in the playoffs a little bit against a team who isn't going to drop 9 runs on our head bottom of the first inning.
I completely agree with that. I don't want to play the Blue Jays in a one game playoff.
So I don't know, but I feel really good right now.
It's just really nice that it's, you know, it's not foolish of us to be paying attention and hopeful, because it felt that way. It's starting to feel that way. And now, you know, 2 games out, anything can happen. Yeah.
I mean, the bummer is, I mean, it's, I am being wildly conservative here, you know, but, man, you just take away 5 extremely stupid losses that the A's have this year, and we are comfortably in the wild card. We are comfortably in wild card position, number 1 game behind the Astros. And they have lost way more than 5 stupid games this year. You know, like,
it hurts.
We talked about it a little bit last week, but I mean, it's just like, I know this isn't exactly how wins above replacement works, but man, if Trevor Rosenthal went out there and had a good year this year, he might be at like a 15 WAR season.
He would, whether the numbers supported it or not.
It's crazy we are in playoff position because our bullpen has done everything they could possibly do to torpedo our playoff chances. But we're still here. The only thing that really worries me that I've kind of been looking at all the standings, looking at everything, our record against teams that are above 500 is like outlier bad. Like we're 28-44 against teams that are above 500. And that's not very good. You know, all the other good teams are mostly above at or above 500 against teams that are above 500. And we are not very close. And I don't know whether that means that we've just been playing the Astros a lot or I don't know. But one way or another, not a great thing. Because the teams that are in the playoffs are going to be above 500, you know?
Totally. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, we know that this team has been bad for great stretches of time, for many games. They clearly can be good. But, for most of the season, they've been pretty disappointing. And so it's not that surprising, I guess. Makes sense.
Just weird. It's strange that we still... Strange that we're still finding a way to be in the play. I mean, because we must really be torching teams that are below 500, which I guess is cool. But I don't know, man.
It doesn't feel that way, but yeah, is interesting.
But that has to be the truth.
So how do we move forward? Playoffs aside, we know it'd be great if we could keep Josh Harrison. And then, I mean, let's have this quick debate: Harrison or Marte? So far, who's been more important? If you compare wars, B wars, baseball ref wars, in Oakland, Harrison's only put up a 0.2. Marte's put up a 1.4. And I think probably a ton of that's just from how crazy athletic and fast Marte is. He's a slower middle infielder, not stealing the bags.
I think going forward, you know, assuming that Josh Harrison is enjoying Oakland, which it seems like he is, he fits our blueprint perfectly.
Yep.
You know, he just seems like he, and I focus a lot on Josh Harrison because Marte's not coming back.
We're not going to reach him. Yeah, no. That's the big thing about Harrison.
Give Marte $50 million, you're like, we're not going to do that.
Harrison's a realistic option and one that I would really like.
Yeah, and that doesn't solve some of the positional issues that we'll talk about in a little bit, but it kind of mitigates them a little bit, you know? And, you know, it doesn't solve second. It doesn't solve short. But it definitely gives you a guy you can play there maybe 25, 30% of the time, which means you don't have to find another guy that can play there 100% of the time. You just have to find a guy that can play there most of the time. And I think that is a lot of the value of a lot of these players that the A's have kind of dug up in a lot of ways. You know, I mean, it's like you need to fit this. We need to find square pegs for our square holes, you know? And, Josh Harrison seems like a square peg for sure. So want to keep him around, feel like we could get him on a 2-year deal for not that much. And, be on our way to a great offseason this offseason. But he's also playing really, really well right now. And if he continues to hit the cover off the ball and make crazy defensive plays for the rest of September, he might just price himself out of our price range too. So
he might, yeah. He signed for a 1-year, $1 million deal. And really, his offensive numbers are down or at least in line with previous years. So we'll see. What, if we could get him for 1 year, $1 million, you kidding me?
Dude, yeah, well, I'll send in some money.
Yeah, that's going around on Twitter, and I kind of I'd be curious to see if that could gain any steam. Like, the fans get donated $5,000 to the Harrison contract, and the A's will be like, $5,000.
I mean, that's not nothing.
It's not nothing.
Anyway, so I think I mean, obviously, I think Marte's been more important, but Harrison's been really important and might come back. So, hopefully. And I mean, the other two guys too, let's talk about all the guys that we traded for. I mean, if we get Andrew Chafin back, I'm going to be a happy camper. Yeah. And, I don't know, but I love Yan Gomes, but I feel like he's going to be expensive too.
I was just looking at an article on MLB Trade Rumors, and he's really like, there's just not a good crop of catchers this offseason, so he's like maybe the top free agent catcher, which is
he's gonna get a lot of
a money. Little shocking, but he is really good, so makes sense.
And I mean, as fun as it is to have him on the team, and as much as he's us, we do have Sean Murphy. So
we got Sean Murphy. We got Sean Murphy, and there's other catchers and that can catch.
It seems like for the most part, we can kind of find that backup catcher. As long as we have a catcher, you can find a backup catcher.
Mm-hmm.
And we can always just go get Steven Vogt if we need to.
As long as he's not too hurt. So, yeah, if we can get Josh Harrison, that'd be great. And it would help at least solve, you know, the second and or shortstop issue. I'd be kind of surprised if we move away from Elvis even next year. It just seems like he's the perfect option to walk the line between rebuilding and competing for free.
And I think it'll be interesting if they just kind of hold off until Nick Allen's ready.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be that mad about that.
I wouldn't be that mad about it. Obviously, it could possibly waste some Chapman Olsen time. But who knows? You know, Billy Beane and David Forster are often pretty good at putting together a respectable team when you least expect it. I'd be a little surprised if they go full rebuild and say, like, trade Chapman and Olsen this offseason. I'd expect them to wait a little longer. I don't know what's going to happen. The future is totally a big question mark for the A's.
It is indeed. And I mean, on some level it always is, you know, like, I think the anomaly has been that we have had consistent answers for this many seasons in a row. You know, we have had Matt Olson and Matt Chapman and, you know, to a lesser extent, Chad Pinder and Mark Canha kind of for a long time now. So the inconsistency that plagued us for a long time kind of hasn't been around. So, I mean, you feel like that's probably going to come back around at some point. I mean, it is the way they run the team. So, yeah, just trying to have a good time while it's going on, you know.
I'm looking at the depth chart, and I can't help but feel optimistic and just think, you know, if we can get one good outfielder, maybe like a Hunter Renfro type, and, you know, a good middle infielder, maybe like a Jose Iglesias, they could fill in the gaps well enough that the team could keep competing. Who knows?
I mean, you wonder a little bit if they really didn't pay anyone last year because of the pandemic, you know?
A little bit. That's what they say.
If they would have taken a little bit more of an aggressive approach.
Mm-hmm.
And they may next offseason. Who knows? But I Jed Lowry isn't playing that great.
He's not.
And I mean, I guess he could be hot, but, you know, I mean, he's out there OPS and, you know, like 720, which isn't terrible, but also we're not going to lie to ourselves and say that Jed's defense at second is so transcendent that he can go out there dragging a 720 OPS to the plate. You know, like the reason you kind of stand his defensive limitations is because he's usually hitting the ball, but he's doubling a lot and stuff. And he just hasn't been, you know. His OBP is fine, but his slugging percentage is. I think he's just losing it a little bit, you know.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's a place we could upgrade over. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that is. There's a lot of, I mean, even just maybe going full time with Josh Harrison at second.
You know, I would like to see that. We got Tony Kemp too.
It's true. It's true. And Tony Kemp is, I'm very comfortable saying at this point, Tony Kemp is a legit MLB player.
Yep.
You know, he's, I don't even think needs to be part of a platoon really. I mean, he's in Oakland, so he's going to be, but, yeah, I don't think he needs to be. I think Tony Kemp could play every day.
Part of me is really enjoying the Jed Lowry, Chris Davis platoon. It's just, you know, the A's fan in me can't help but love that.
Yes. And Chris Davis looks good. Still has yet to homer. But he looks healthy.
It's coming. I can't wait. It's gonna be amazing. The first Chris Davis and homer.
It's interesting because he was now retrospectively, he was so clearly hurt and then recovering from being hurt because he looks like a different guy.
He does. You know?
The Chris Davis that's playing for the A's now looks like a completely different player than the one that last played for the A's before he was traded.
And he's going to lead the charge this week against the Mariners and the Astros. We got a full slate this week. We got 7 games in 7 days.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
4 against the Mariners starting at 6:40 p.m. Pacific time tonight. And then 3 against the Astros. These are all at home. This is the last home game of the year, or homestand of the year. I believe so. So, yep, huge week ahead, as these have all been. I would love to see them go at least 5-2. I think that firmly keeps them in the race.
Yes, I agree with that. If they're hot, you know, I mean, you want to go, I mean, maybe they could do 6-1. I don't know, the Astros. I feel like this is our best opportunity to just kind of put the Mariners out of their misery.
Yep. A sweep,
you know,
would really, really, really be great. Really
sweep
really
Mariners at home.
Win 2 out of 3against the Astros. That'd be nice.
But I mean, even realistically, split with the Astros, sweep the Mariners, split with the Astros, I'm not that mad.
Well, we can't.
And also, I mean, it's getting to the starting time of year where you can do whatever you do, and a lot is just dependent on what other teams do, which is kind of annoying. But all you can really do is handle your business, you know. So first and foremost, that's what they have to do. But do need a little bit of help.
do need some help. Yeah, unfortunately, they can't split against the Astros. That's a three-game set, Dan. But
oh, is it four against the Mariners then?
Yep.
Oh, I thought it was four against the Astros. Oh, well, then you got to win the series against the Astros. Never mind. Never mind.
Must win.
So, what's the coolest thing you saw this week? What was your moment of the week? Oh, no. The coolest thing you saw this week.
Yeah, for me, it was watching the Padres-Cardinals game. For those that don't know, the Padres are tanking worse than the A's have been. And the Cardinals are on a tear. So it was a big series. They're like neck and neck for the wild card, roughly. And I believe the Padres were winning maybe 2-0 in the seventh or eighth inning. And all of a sudden, Tatis and Machado are having a blow up in the dugout. And Machado's yelling at Tatis about how it's not all about you. Just go play baseball. Don't worry about that. And who knows exactly what it was all about. But I guess Tatis had struck out and he gave this pouty look about the call, struck out looking and gave a pouty look. And then I guess it's been grinding the team's gears for weeks now about Tatis has been so, I don't know, gloomy because he hasn't been playing well or something. Anywho, Machado yelled at him. It was supposed to obviously spark some good changes, but then the Padres gave up a 3-run shot to Tyler O'Neill, who is freaking tearing the ball up. Yeah, if you don't know who Tyler O'Neill is, look him up. He's got like the sixth best WAR in the National League this year. And so just really crazy game. Terrible for the Padres. They went out and got blown up the next day, and amazing for the Cardinals. So just fun in the world of playoffs.
This has always been true, and it's true this year. Don't let the Cardinals get hot, because when they get hot, they get super hot. You know?
They do.
And now the Cardinals are super hot. So, I don't know.
The Cardinals they're kind of like the A's. They're, they're always trying to win. They're rarely tanking. And they've been doing that for 100 years.
Which is crazy. But yeah, I mean, Cardinals are dangerous. Everyone in the NL needs to be on alert for the Cardinals right now. Like as good as the Giants are, as good as the Dodgers are, the Cardinals, the dudes the Cardinals have, if they're all healthy and playing well, that's a scary team. You know, especially with Adam Wainwright on fire again.
Yeah, they have dudes that have done it like at least two times before, and they've got a beautiful mix of veteran and youth. And they've got a guy named Lars Tufan. What's his name?
Tyler O'Neill's probably going to get down ballot NL MVP votes. You know, he's having a good year.
What's that guy's name? Lars Nootbaar?
Yes, I think so.
They got a good name.
Yes, they do. That's a good baseball. That's a good name, Jen. That's a good name. So, of course, a good baseball name because it's a good anything name. But, yeah, good old Lars. They're going to ride Lars to the playoffs and probably the World Series.
Yep, Lars Nootbaar. Oh, okay, so, Dan, as our A's look back at the day, I was thinking Eric Burns.
Maybe the best one we've done yet.
Eric Burns came up as a rookie with the A's in 2004 at the age of, I'm sorry, he came up in 2000 at the age of 24. He really didn't get much run until 2002 when he played 90 games. He wasn't that great. 291 on base, 90 OPS plus. And then 2003 and 2004 and 2005, he was more or less an everyday player for the A's. He started getting OPSs over 100. A's traded him mid-year 2005 to the Rockies. He kind of bounced around, went to the Rockies, went to the Orioles, and then I don't know if I forget if he got a big contract right away or what, but he ended up playing with the Diamondbacks pretty well for a few years. Was finished 11th in MVP balloting in 2007 when he had a 21 home run, 83 RBI, 353 on base, 103 OPS plus year. So he was really never an amazing offensive producer, But he always played with a ton of passion, and he was diving all over the place. I know from his A's days, there's a few highlights that stand out, and one was just like this insane Superman-style catch in foul territory where it seemed like he flew through the air for like 10 feet. He did a lot of that stuff.
Yes. He was one of the funnest players I remember watching growing up. He was just, he was a crazy man. He was absolutely crazy man. He was absolutely no regard for his own safety. And I think got him hurt a couple times. Not real bad, but definitely got him hurt. Probably shortened his career a little bit. But yeah, Eric, you were never going to try harder than Eric Burns.
Nope.
It was, if you beat him, you were going to have to just be better than him. You weren't going to, it wasn't going to be an effort thing.
And it's a beautiful thing.
And that was important on that team. You know, I mean, that was, there were some big personalities for sure. And Eric Burns was absolutely not one of them. So good guy. Great A.
God love him for, hitting the cycle against San Francisco. That was a good moment.
Yes. Yes. Anything that you do against the Giants like that will forever cement you in A's lore. Anyway, so the coolest thing I saw in the MLB this week, I forgot to say mine. Cedric Mullins robbed Gary Sanchez of a homer, and it was one of the coolest robberies of the year. He just made it look so easy. It was like so casual. And Cedric Mullins is just super cool. Cedric Mullins is like a very, very cool player. And, yeah, at this point, you got to just kind of believe it all, right? Like he's about to go, he's threatening to go 30-30. Which is, you know, not quite 40-40, but also pretty impressive. So, yeah, Cedric Mullins, my moment of the week.
I believe it. I would sure love to see him on a different team, but, you know, maybe the A's. Who knows?
And I guess, you know, the Orioles may get good.
If the Orioles could get good, that would be fun, but I just hope that he gets a chance to play on a good team.
Yeah, I mean, it would make a lot of sense to see him end up as like a Yankee.
Yeah, he probably hit 50 home runs.
Anyway, I think that's kind of all we got, right?
I think that's a wrap for episode 16.
Alrighty, and maybe we should have mentioned this at the beginning. I don't know, but this is the first time that we have done this remotely. We are not in the same room right now.
Yes, I was COVID quarantining this past few days. Maybe I got to do it more often because the A's have won every day since. So,
I mean, keep, you know, that in mind. We're just trying to follow the guidelines, you know?
That's right.
So, anyway, that is, I think that's all we have. Yeah, hopefully we will talk to you after another one loss week.
We'll see you then.